Now the price of Adam's sin has been paid, and the price of all of our sin has been paid, and we now can rest in knowing that God's justice has been satisfied. God is pleased with us because our faith is in Him, in Jesus, and we're approved. And out of the awareness of our approval, our emotional health flows. Out of disapproval, unhealth. Emotional sickness flows out of disapproval. Emotional health flows out of His approval. Realize that we're redeemed from the curse of being emotionally ruled people. This is also something we're redeemed from. We're redeemed from being overtaken by our emotions. And this is what emotional intelligence is. It's being able to have emotions. It's being able to express emotions, but have a harness on them and have control of them. And if you think about anything in life, a relationship, your health, your dreams, your desires, the goals you have in life, everything is driven by the degree of how you can control your emotions. Like in a relationship, in any relationship, there's going to be things that happen that go against your expectations and go against your what you were hoping for. And how you process and how you handle those emotions are what determines the quality of your life. The quality of your life is not determined by what happens to you, but the quality of your life is determined by how you respond and how you relate to what happens to you, right? Exactly. And so what we see, as soon as Adam and Eve sinned and realized they were naked and they were ashamed, they immediately went into this emotionally ruled lifestyle. Like, God created us to be ruled by His presence and ruled by love. Our emotions should not be ruling our life. Like, I'm so mad I could do this, and I'm so depressed, and I'm so sad, and I'm so angry, and I'm so this, and I'm so discouraged about this. And our emotions begin to overpower us and oppress us and control our lives. And it all started in the garden. And so if I can just kind of unfold how this controlled them, we can then dismantle it and reverse it and truly elevate our emotional intelligence, because life is lived. We live in an emotional world. We live in emotions, and we have them, and they're not something that we should try to get rid of. There's something we should try to enjoy and employ and not have them controlling us. You with me? So now in verse 8, so they hear the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to the man and said, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard." "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate." Like, this guy is immediately fallen. Now you can see how fallen he is. Oh, like, he was made in the image of God, but he's not acting at all like that now. He's no longer in the image of God. You do understand, right? That man is no longer, Adam has just changed his nature. Adam has just become, Adam has taken on the nature of Satan. Wow. at this point in his life. Adam and Eve have taken on the nature of Satan. They have become children. They have become sons of darkness. They have literally given Satan authority in the earth, because they were given authority by God. And then Adam and Eve ended up giving the authority to Satan by listening to him and submitting to him. And of course, Jesus comes, hallelujah. Yeah. Jesus comes and takes the authority back, but pays for it in his blood. So Jesus didn't just come to he didn't just come to just wash us of our sins. He came to take back the keys of, of hell and death. He came to take back the keys, the authority of life, the authority of the universe. He took it back from Satan. Satan doesn't rule this world anymore. He's the God of this world system, but he is not your God. Your God has given you authority. And you have the power over your life, over your soul, over your choices, over your emotions, over how you react and respond to how you're treated at work, or how you're treated at home, or how you're treated by a family member on the holidays, or how you're treated, you know, how you respond to whatever life throws at you. Like you, like we're masters of life. We're not mastered by life. We're the masters of life. We have to wake up to the reality of who we are. Like you no longer sit around and have pity parties when you understand the kind of authority that you wield with your tongue and with your words, with your prayers, with your faith, with your love. Like the authority we get to walk in, the power we get to walk in is all the power that Adam and Eve walked in before they sinned. What Adam became is what we were born as. But what Adam was before he sinned is what we're born again as. Do you follow what I'm saying? We are what Adam was. Like we are born as the seed of Adam. We are born as sinners. We are born as blamers. We are born as victims. We are born as people who have a chip on our shoulder. From the moment we come out of the womb, we're whining. Like, think about it. You don't have, no baby comes out of the womb rejoicing, happy, full of light, you know, full of like good attitude. Like he's crying, bleeding, angry, hungry, demanding, feisty. And you're attached to him. You got to cut that thing. Like Adam, we have, like, we have to grab a hold of, I know this is, you might be thinking, like, come on, Pastor, are we ever going to get out of Genesis? Like, where, I mean, yeah, I guess, but you got to see how far man has had fallen so that you can appreciate how high God has raised you up in Christ. Like we have been, like the kind of, the quality of life that Adam and Eve lived before they sinned was they ruled the earth. They were masters of the earth. They had dominion. God said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue the earth, and rule the earth. Adam and Eve named all the animals. Adam and Eve had complete authority over everything. And he said, God told them in Genesis 1, over every creeping thing. You have authority over everything that creeps, every creeping thing. And here comes the creep, the devil himself, the creepiest of the creeps. He comes creeping in the form of a serpent. And Adam and Eve had total authority to kick him out of the garden, or to kill him, or to tame him, or to do whatever they had to do. They had authority. They were masters over all of creation. They had command over all of creation. They acquiesced that. They abdicated their authority, but they had it. They abdicated their responsibility, but they had the authority to drive the devil out of the garden. All they had to do was say, hey, get out of here. You don't belong here, and you don't get to be in our garden. You go out over there in the field. We're not letting you in here. We are in charge of you. But what they did was they held a conversation with the enemy. And therefore, he won the conversation. He won the argument. God didn't call us to talk with the enemy. He called us to talk to the enemy. He gave us authority to talk to. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Don't have a conversation with him. Resist him. Firm in your faith. And we have to think like that. Like, we have to think, we have to start living like we're in charge. Like, we're in charge. Like, I'm in charge of my choices. I'm in charge of my life. I'm in charge. And as I started to share on Sunday, we'll pick this up on Sunday, but that the idea that somebody else has control over your life, that's oppression. And that's what Satan is. He's an oppressor. And he wants to rob you of your power to control your own life. And God wants to give you the power to control your own life. Like, God doesn't even want to control our lives. God's not a controller. He put Adam and Eve in this garden. He said, you guys, hey, do it, take it, multiply, tend the garden, enjoy each other, enjoy the fruit, eat from any of the trees, eat freely, eat all you want. By the way, that one in the middle, don't eat from that one. There's a tag on that. Don't remove the tag, you know, like the mattress that you're not supposed to remove the tag on the mattress. Don't eat from that one because, you know, who knows? Well, you get arrested if you remove the tag from the mattress, I guess. I don't know. But if you eat from that tree, like, look, you're going to die. Don't eat from that one. You're going to die. And I believe in the God. I believe in a yes God, not a no God. There's way more yeses than there are nos. And the fact is that if you fill up on the yeses that God says yes to, you'll lose your appetite for the nos that God says no to. It's not about us being so strong that we can resist the devil. It's not about us being so strong that we can resist temptation. It's about us being so full that we can't eat another bite. That's really the Christian life. The Christian life, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you would have life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. When we get a hold of this kind of authority, we start mastering our feelings and our emotions. And like, the first place to exercise this God-given authority is over yourself. The first place we exercise our authority is not over the devil. The first place we exercise our authority is not over things. The first place we exercise our authority should be over our attitudes. Our emotions. This is what I'm talking about when I talk about emotional intelligence. It's like, this is the first thing to get control of. Look, we are trying to control everything else in life. My God, if we could get a hold of this. We try to control people. We try to control our situation. We try to control the weather. We try to control the temperature. We try to control, and not that you can't, you know, turn the thermostat up. Okay, that's another example and for another time. But we are control freaks as human beings because of one thing. We're always compensating for something we feel inside. So when we lack self-control, we accentuate our need to control other things and people and the environment and our circumstances, when really Jesus slept in the middle of the storm because he had self-control. He had supernatural peace. He slept in the midst of the storm. He didn't need the storm to stop for him to have peace. He had peace inside.
Amen. Wow. That's awesome.
Wow. He had mastery of himself. So now, but when they woke him and they're like, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? He's like, he was sleeping. Like, he would have been no different than you. When somebody wakes you up, you're like upset, right? Somebody wakes you up, you've fallen asleep. It's as we get older, sometimes it's a little harder. I'm not prophesying to anybody, but for me, I've had a little harder time sleeping. So as soon as I fall asleep, if somebody wakes me up, I'm ticked. I just finally fell asleep. You know, Romans comes running into my room. Dad, I got to talk to you. Dad, dude, man, come on, wake up. I'm going to knock you out, boy. This is not good. This is bad timing, bro. So Jesus is like he's, okay, whoa. They're like, don't you care? They wake him. They shake him. They wake him up. Don't you care? We're perishing. And Jesus is like, whoa. Okay, where's your faith, guys? Oh, ye of little faith. Okay, just move aside for a moment. Move aside for a moment. Peace, be still.
Yeah. Amen.
And the storm stopped. And the wind ceased and the waves, stopped. And there was calm. And there was a great calm, the Bible says. There was a great calm on the outside because there was a great calm on his insides. You see, this is what I'm talking about. Like, we have got to get calm inside and you're not moved by all the activity of everybody else being stressed out, and you don't, like, you're not so touchy when you've got this mastery over yourself. And this is what Adam and Eve, this is what they gave up. This is what they lost. This is what they sacrificed. This is what they lost control. They lost control of themselves, They no longer are governed by the Spirit of God and by their relationship with God. Now they're governed by their sense of smell, their sense of touch. They're governed by this, by their feelings and their emotions, and they're completely controlled by them, so much so that the first two kids they have are Cain and Abel. And let's look there real quick. It says, for Abel, God was pleased. He respected. The word is pleased. God was pleased with Abel's offering, but God was not pleased with Cain's offering. Now listen to me, really, really important point. And this is how God reverses it in our lives. Like, once we're born again, we now, our emotions flow from the same fountain that their emotions flowed from. Our emotions flow from our connection with God. So our emotions flow from how we feel about what God thinks. So when you feel that God's not pleased with you, this is what happens. Now fear comes in, and then anger, which leads to hatred, rejection, low self-worth, and retaliation. This is the downward spiral of Cain's emotions that we see unfold. He gets afraid, he gets angry, he gets depressed, he gets hateful, he feels rejected, he feels low self-worth, and he feels like his only way of compensating for how he feels is to eliminate the threat in his life. And the threat is coming from the threat. He doesn't deal with the threat inside of him. He deals with what he projects the threat out onto his brother. Like, it's really you. You're the problem. So if I get rid of you, then I won't be compared to you anymore. And I won't be the one that doesn't please God. So this is what I'm trying to get across to you, is that I believe with all my heart that Christians, they don't mature because they're constantly trying to obtain this moving target of pleasing God. Like, you got to really please God. Like, your action, like, your life isn't really pleasing to God. Like, you haven't prayed enough, so you're not pleasing to God. You haven't done enough, so you're not pleasing to God. You haven't given enough, so you're not pleasing to God. You haven't been holy enough, so you're not pleasing to God. And it's this moving target. Like, at what point is God pleased with you? Like, if you win somebody to the Lord, should you have won two people to the Lord? If you won two people to the Lord, should you have won four people to the Lord? Like, at what point is God pleased with you? And this is the whole essence of Christianity, and the whole essence of our soul, and what Jesus came to redeem us from, was being ruled by fear and being ruled by the displeasure of God, feeling that we have fallen short of pleasing God and fallen short of glorifying God. That's why the only requirement The only necessary ingredient that is required for us to be pleasing to God is to simply believe. It's to simply believe Him.
Yeah.
Like, what pleases God is that you take Him at His word. That's why it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Now without faith, it is impossible to please God." Without faith, it's impossible to please God. "For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who seek Him." This is what religion has done. Religion has taken the Bible and has ascribed meanings that were never meant to be ascribed. To seek Him means that we forsake all other forms of what we're putting our trust in. God is a rewarder, not of those who pray enough to qualify for seeking Him, but God is the rewarder of those that look to Him as their source. That's what seeking God is. I look to Him on the cross as the only source of my salvation. I look to Him and the stripes on His back as the only source of my healing. I look to Him as becoming a curse for me as the only source of my redemption. I'm redeemed from the curse because He was crucified. I'm forgiven because His blood was shed. I'm healed by His stripes. Like, that's seeking God. It is refusing to look to any other source than Jesus as the only source of my redemption. You see, that's what seeking God is. And that takes the religion out of it. That takes the gosh, am I doing it enough? You see? Do you see? So Abel brings the firstlings of the flock, and blood is shed, and God is pleased. Cain brings effort, the work of his hands, and God is not pleased, because no matter what you do in your effort, it will never be enough to be pleasing to God. So the moment that you put faith in the blood, you are pleasing to God. And when you put your faith in anything else, you're out of sync with that pleasure.
Well, so good to be with you. It's worth repeating again and again. Your life, our lives are not determined by what happens to us, but by how we respond to what happens to us. You know, you've already been redeemed from the curse of being emotionally ruled. And listen, if you tuned in last week, you heard me talking about emotional intelligence, knowing how to frame, name, and tame your emotions. And when you know how to frame, name what's happening in your soul, then you know how to tame it. This is what emotional intelligence is all about. You can do this, and I'm here to help. I'm here to serve you. And if you missed last week's program, I'll tell you, you can receive your own copy at the end of today's program. But listen, in Genesis, we see that Adam and Eve lost control of themselves. They were no longer governed by the Spirit of God when they broke fellowship with Him, and they became governed or controlled by their emotions. They became emotionally ruled people. You see, it's not about us being so strong that we can resist the devil. It's not about us being so strong that we can resist temptation, but it's all about being so full of the things of God that you lose your appetite for anything else. I believe that God is a yes God, not a no God. There are way more yeses than there are nos in the Christian life. And the fact is, when you fill up on the yeses that God says yes to, you lose your appetite for the nos that God says no to. Unhealthy emotions flow out of not being full of God's love and not being aware of the love that He's put inside of you and not being aware of your approval. You need to focus on the approval that Jesus gave you the moment you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He's never gonna be mad at you or hold things against you. When you get a hold of this, your emotions begin to get repaired. Everybody was created to have this balance in their life where they have their approval from God, so we're no longer searching for it from others. Now, I wanna pray for you and believe with you for this breakthrough in your life emotionally, but in just a moment. But first, I want to thank you for joining me today It really is an honor to share God's word with you. Each and every week, we only have a few precious moments together. And I want to take our conversation beyond this program today and take our relationship to another level. And if you want to improve your emotional intelligence and bring supernatural health and healing to your soul, your heart, your mind, your emotions, your choices, if you want to connect on a deeper level, go online right now, request today's teaching, The Power of Emotional Intelligence. It's a 5-CD series that also includes last week's teaching in its entirety. And I want to put this in your hands. And for your gift of $24 or more to this ministry today, I want to put this in your hands. And today I want to send you my book, Taking Charge of Your Emotions, as well. And your gift will help us reach our goal to see 13 million, more than 13 million lives engaged, transformed, or saved, born again. But I also want to tell you about something else. Every single Sunday, we broadcast my message every Sunday live from Life Changers International Church. And I would love for you to tune in. If you're in the Chicago area, come in. But if you're anywhere else, join me and join the ministry live as it happens. The information is on your screen down below. And I'd love for you to join me online this weekend. Now, let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for the breakthrough, the emotional healing and breakthrough that every person seeks. Let peace rise. Let joy rise. Let balance rise in the soul. Let health rise and be restored in the soul of every person, adding their faith to mine, and I'm adding my faith to theirs. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks so much. And remember, if you want to connect on a deeper level, go online and request today's teaching and send your gift in as well. And so many lives are going to be changed, beginning with yours. And don't miss next week. I'll be talking about God's answer for your every need. Tell your friends, have a watch party, and don't forget to connect with me on Facebook or Instagram. I am there, and I'll do my very best to respond to you personally, to as many people as I can who reach out. And don't miss our next broadcast. DVR it if you're not watching it live. Never miss another one of them, and I can't wait to see you then. God bless.